You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The 2017 Parliamentary Drug Law Symposium kicked off today in Wellington, bringing together a range of international and domestic speakers to talk about how better drug laws can be developed for the 21st century. An increasing number of countries around the world are shifting their stance towards controlling drugs, away from a prohibitive approach and towards law and policy that promotes health and well-being. One of the speakers at the symposium is Professor of Criminology at Durham University, Fiona Meesham, who is also the director of a non-profit in the UK that provides drug safety testing as well as welfare and harm reduction services at nightclubs and festivals. 95BFM reporter Pearl Little caught up with Fiona yesterday ahead of today's symposium to find out a little bit more about her work.
I've been conducting research for 25 years or so, looking at changing trends in drug use, and I decided that there was really a vacuum in terms of harm reduction support for young people at festivals and nightclubs. We did used to have that about 20 years ago in the UK, but funding has been cut, and there's been a refocus on recovery-oriented drug services. So we felt that there was a vacuum, and we wanted to fill that, myself and my colleague. The person that I set it up with is a DJ and a promoter, so he's been involved in the scene for many years from that side of it, and I've been involved in the scene as an academic for many years. So we came together, set up The Loop in 2013, and it's been non-stop since then, really.
Yeah, so, I mean, has this sort of work with drug harm reduction, you've sort of been interested in this for a a couple of decades, as I understand, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, what sort of changes, trends, anything that you've kind of noticed over that time?
Good question. I suppose one of the biggest trends has been the increased variety of drugs. So with the new psychoactive substances, we've gone from, you know, maybe 10 drugs that were being used as party drugs to potentially hundreds now. So that's complicated things, along with a real variation in purity. And it's probably a bit different in the UK to New Zealand, but in the UK we have a problem with very high purity drugs, which probably sounds counterintuitive, but one of the things that's happened is people are overdosing and dying because of high purity drugs. So for example, in 2010, about 8 people died from ecstasy itself. And the last year that we have figures for, 57 people died in 2015. So we've got problems with the variations in purity. So people don't know what they're taking, but sometimes the dosage can vary so much they can overdose. So that's another concern. And probably there's the advent of the dark net, so crypto drug markets, and the fact that people don't necessarily buy drugs from a dealer in a club or on the street anymore. They might be getting them delivered to their door. So that's been another change. And I think from my point of view, because I'm a professor of criminology, so I've been looking at the policing and regulation, is that in the UK, the policing has changed. So we've seen a certain tolerance or growing liberalisation from local police, but not from national police. And I think one of the drivers for that is that we've had austerity, we've had economic cuts to the public sector, and we've had 20,000 less police in the UK since 2010. And the consequence of less police is that there's less policing. And that has led to a focus of priorities away from the enforcement of the Misuse of Drugs Act in the UK. In certain areas, it's a bit of a postcode lottery, but in certain areas, and to just give you one example, in Bristol, they have a pilot project running at the moment where all possession of all drugs has been decriminalised, and they're currently pushing people away from criminal justice and into health services. So that's like a really interesting local development, which we wouldn't have predicted maybe even 5 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. I had absolutely no idea that was going on in Bristol. That's really interesting that you sort of mentioned the high potency MDMA that you sort of get in the UK, because earlier this year I interviewed Adam Winstock from Global Drug Survey about this topic. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is because when I interviewed him, he essentially said that pill testing has been hyped up to be this final solution, that, you know, people are actually dying from taking too much, not the wrong thing. And I mean, whilst he said, you know, he doesn't think it shouldn't happen, he said that probably the most effective way festivals can combat this issue is through education about dosage, etc. I mean, how do you respond to this?
I think it's an interesting, slight strange thing to say, because for myself and people involved in drug testing, we absolutely don't see it as a panacea to all problems. But in fact, it does exactly what he's suggesting. It's one tool in the toolkit in terms of education and information, because how can we educate people and provide harm reduction advice unless they know what they're taking? And the only way to find out what people are taking is to ask them what they think they've been sold, and then to test it and see what it actually is, and to make that connection on a one-to-one level, and then provide them with individually tailored harm reduction advice. So that's what we do. We don't just test and give test results. We have fully trained drugs workers in the UK called substance misuse practitioners, and they're fully trained, experienced, and they give out the results as part of this brief intervention, this harm reduction package. But the idea is, and I agree with Adam, that the problem is, can be high purity, not just contaminants in drugs, but they need to know what that high purity is, and therefore we have to test to find that out. So in a way, I think he's missing the point of drug testing, which is that we can give information on anything. It doesn't have to just be on contaminants. And one of the things we do in the loop is we test pills, we find out the MDMA content, and then we tweet about it, and people can see that on our Twitter account. We are the loop. .org, and they can see the test results, and we produce those for festivals and for the wider drug using community. So one of the things that happens now, and I get emails regularly about this, is people say, thanks, I had no idea that that was the strength of those pills. And when we test the pills, they can vary massively. So for example, on one day in a festival in the UK, pills can have anything from 20 milligrams of MDMA up to over 250 milligrams of MDMA. So if you double drop two of those, you're taking over half of a gram of MDMA, which is a very high amount, especially for somebody who's perhaps inexperienced and they've got low tolerance. So these are the sorts of pieces of information that we can provide from drug testing. Otherwise, you end up having this sort of general warning saying, oh, pills are strong, but people don't necessarily know how to operate that because they don't know the exact amount of MDMA in them. So I see pill testing and I see drug testing as part of that general process of providing information to users.
Yeah, definitely agree. I mean, I guess to, you know, start the conversation and to have proper tailored advice, you have to, you know, be there with the person and their substance. Sort of in basic terms, can you take me through sort of the different ways, the ways the drugs are tested, and a bit about how that all actually works there in the festivals?
Yes, sure. So we have a big tent at the festival, which will be divided in two. So the front half will be open to the public. The back half will be the back of house sort of pop-up lab. And we customers come in at the front. They are invited to drop off one dose of a substance. So it will be one pill or a small scoop of powder. They put it in a little baggie and post it in an amnesty bin. They get a unique ID number and they're asked to come back in half an hour. In the course of that half an hour, we conduct four different types of tests at the moment. So we do the reagent test, which people will be familiar with, the sort of DIY kits. We also use infrared and ultraviolet spectroscopy. And we also have a sort of a wet chemistry method where we do solvent washing to wash the contaminants out of pills to identify how much of a pill is MDMA. So we've got four different types of analytical process. And then the results are given back to the user. So they come back with their ID number. They're taken to a little booth for a certain amount of privacy. And then they meet the harm reduction worker. The harm reduction worker will talk to them about their past drugs history, if they've got any past problems, perhaps also if they're taking any medication. And they will then give them results of the test, ask them if it was what they expected, and they'll give them harm reduction advice in relation to that specific substance, as well as bearing in mind the bigger issue of polydrug use and alcohol use as well combined. And then the very final part of the consultation is we ask them if they've got any other substances in their possession that they would like us to dispose of once they've heard the results. And one of the things that we were really pleased about last summer when we conducted the pilots was about one in five of our customers gave us more drugs that were in their possession because they said they didn't want them and they didn't want to take them once they found out what was in them. So we were really pleased about that, and the police were obviously on site, and so was the festival itself, because we took out of circulation about one-fifth of these substances of concern of our customers. So we thought it was win-win, really, because obviously the users don't want to take them, and it helps us identify if there's any dealers mis-selling on site as well. So the sorts of things that we found on site were boric acid was being mis-sold as cocaine. We found chloroquine and malaria tablets had been ground up and being mis-sold as cocaine. And we found somebody was selling concrete, 100% concrete, that they made into pills, into ecstasy pills.
You're here in the context of the Parliamentary Drug Symposium, your key speaker. And I mean, this is, you're sort of here in the context of the New Zealand Drug Foundation coming out over the weekend with their research that they've done over the summer with Know Your Stuff NZ, testing over, 300 illicit drugs at 8 music festivals over the New Zealand summer. And I think, what you've just briefly mentioned is that the situation in the UK and Europe is very different to in New Zealand because of access to sort of different substances. How do you think the issue needs to be dealt with differently in New Zealand? Because I mean, I guess you're dealing with more contamination than high potency, or do you think you can sort of, it's sort of the same deal?
I think it's fairly similar in the fact that, we can never anticipate what we're going to find in the test results. So I think we all have to be on our guard in terms of whether we're dealing with contaminants and adulterants, or whether we're dealing with high potency drugs. And the other thing is that things can change very quickly in the drugs market, week to week or month to month. So I think the basic principles of professional ethical drug testing will relate to New Zealand and really relate to any country. And the thing that's exciting and really heartening for me is that this debate has moved on very quickly in the past year or two. So we introduced the first testing in the UK last summer. There's moves in Canada and now in New Zealand, and I know in Australia as well. And it seems that it's picking up momentum, really, in terms of the value. And I think it's moving away from the idea that it has to be covert, it has to be going against the law. And one of the things that's been really heartening for me in terms of the UK is that we've had full support of the police. The police have actually been the most supportive of any stakeholders in terms of this. And I think this is because they're at the front line and they're having to deal with the repercussions. In the UK, 6 people died last summer at summer festivals, and that was the highest on record. And I think there was a feeling by everybody working at festivals, including the police and paramedics, we don't want young people to go to festivals and then not go home again. The idea is that everyone goes to festivals a good time, but they all get home safely. And if there's a death on site, it's a tragedy, obviously, for the family involved, but also for the people who work at the festival. And I've been at festivals where there have been drug-related deaths, and the staff are all genuinely devastated. And so I think that's the idea, that we all want to do things differently and do as much as we can in terms of harm reduction. And the other thing that I've not mentioned yet is technologies are changing. We now can have better and better kit that we can get on site festivals. The price of that is going down. So we now have the technology to be able to do this sort of testing on site, which we probably couldn't have done 10 years ago. The equipment is quite expensive, but nevertheless, we can have that, we can use that. So I think there's this combination of factors that have come together to mean that around the world now, more and more places are considering doing drug testing on site.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.